Dobrý večer, milé posluchači, milí posluchači. Vítáme vás při 13. vydání Okresu na severu, pořadu od milovníků severu pro milovníky severu. Z režie tentokrát, už po druhé během těchto 13 vydání, možná po třetí, vás zdraví Míra Oros. Ale já tady dneska nebudu moderovat, budu v režii a přivítám mezi námi nového moderátora, Honzu Formánka. Ahoj, Honzo.
Ahoj.
Honza Formánek čas od času si přivede sem do studia hradební hosta z kopců okolo Ústí, kde taky žije, a my jsme si to tady interně pojmenovali, že budeme těmto vydáním Okresu na severu říkat kopečkáři. Takže vítejte při prvních kopečkářích. Vysíláme živě, takže on vám to Honza ještě připomene. Pokud budete mít na dnešního hosta nějaký dotaz, tak klidně pište do chatu, ale já už teď ještě jednou vítám Honzu Formánka. A Honzo, studio hradební a 13. vydání Okresu na severu je tvoje. Hodně štěstí.
Děkuju. Dobrý večer je ode mě. Já rovnou teda uvedu, uvedu to, co se tady dneska bude odehrávat. A vlastně jednak to bude teda, jak zmínil už Míra, první díl takového jako podprogramu Kopečkáři, kde je vlastně připraveno to, že bychom si sem zvali právě hosty z kopců, různé zajímavé lidi, kteří žijí vlastně v těsné blízkosti Ústí, ale se samotným městem jako takovým nemají úplně přímou interakci. Je to proto, že tam žije spoustu zajímavých lidí, hlavně v poslední době. Jeden z těch nejzajímavějších tady bude dneska s námi dnes večer. Je to Augustín, já ho za chvíli představím. Ale ještě předtím, než si s ním budem povídat a než ho představím, tak bych vám rád sdělil, že Augustín vlastně nemluví česky, respektive umí česky pár slov, ale jako čeština jako taková pro ně není komunikační jazyk. A proto jsme se domluvili, že dnešní rozhovor bude v angličtině. Pokud to někoho z vás klame, tak se samozřejmě dopředu omlouváme. My se případně ještě pokusíme, pokud bude zájem, dovrobit nějakou možnost porozumění, ale určitě to všichni zvládneme, nebude to nic složitého. Tak, ještě bych rád připomněl, že máte možnost v průběhu rozhovoru, psát živé dotazy, a pokud nějaké dorazí a budou zajímavé, tak samozřejmě rádi vám ještě odpovíme. Takže pokud to všechno, přepínáme na vysílání v anglickém jazyce a já teda začnu anglicky. So, a huge majority of us love traveling. For most of them, it's a kind of expression of freedom of our lives. But there are many people who do not travel just for fun. They travel because they are forced and they have no chance to enjoy the freedom. One of them is here with us tonight. It's my friend Augustin. And I would like to just express one framework or maybe name of the interview, which can be potentially next stop Czechia, in Czech, příští zastávka Česko. Maybe you will understand later better, because this expression was one of the first one Czech expressions to which Augustin and his family was facing and learning as well. So, first of all, I would like to say a little bit something about Augustin. From my perspective, he's a kind of history textbook, because in during his life, it's a nice, very nice demonstration or illustration of the history of the 21st century, especially the beginning. I feel him like to be old good friend, and maybe we can call him as a Forrest Gump of nowadays. So, thanks to his very good English, we can together spend some time and understand a little bit to this history, especially with the focus to his Ukrainian part of life he spent there. And maybe I will take over the speech to Augustin to introduce himself shortly, and especially I would like to ask you to express your family name. I'm sorry, I can't to do it because it's too difficult for me. So, Augustin, it's up to you now.
Ahoy, my name is Augustin Irebinyahi Ehiavi. I am from Nigeria. I live in Ukraine before running to this place. So we are here.
Okay, thank you. So my idea was to make three blocks, to the history, present, and future of you. And before we start with the past, I would like to give you one question, which is very typical, and everybody will like to hear it. You come from Ukraine. You are like a Ukrainian guy for us. Why didn't you join the Ukrainian army, actually?
This a very good question. The Ukrainian government was not in need of my service, according to their laws. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I am not technically taught about such service. Mm-hmm. So in my own opinion, I think I am also making all the effort. I have my family, Ukrainian citizens, mm-hmm. three Ukrainian citizens mm-hmm. under my watch. Mm-hmm. So even not in Ukrainian land, in another place, mm-hmm. I am still taking care of Ukrainian citizens. Yeah. So I think I am doing something for the country at the moment.
As we all are trying to do. Thank you. Of course. So let's start with the past. As far as you mentioned, you are coming from Nigeria. What would you tell us interesting about your childhood and young years spent in Nigeria? How it was in comparison with Czechia or Ukraine, Europe generally?
Well, a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. a lot of differences. Mm-hmm. It depends on the areas that is being interested in. I grew up in Nigeria, Ewosa, Igueben local government, Edo State. So interesting. We played, we work, we go to school, mm-hmm. we think, we misbehave sometimes as children. Mm-hmm. But it was not very easy. I was not from a very rich home. Mm-hmm. But I am grown up, thanks to God, thanks to my parents. So I'm now an adult, a father mm-hmm. of children.
Okay, thank you. And actually, what about your studies? As far as you started your university studies already in Nigeria, and then you tried to continue it in Ukraine, and that was the point you got to Ukraine, actually?
Sure, mm-hmm. I went to primary school in Nigeria, mm-hmm. from primary school to secondary school. Then from secondary school, went to university, Kogi State University, where I studied law. So at a point in time, I decided to continue my mm-hmm. studies in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So that was how I got to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, some situation came up. I couldn't continue. So I'm left out to survive and live. I got to marry. Mm-hmm. I'm now raising a family from Ukraine.
But before your life turned to the better direction, as far as I understood, you was once having no background.
Of course. If we really have time to talk about those things, they are very long story. Mm. It took me 11 years. I will have to look for a better way to keep them in a file to make it short. Yeah. I was driven away from school. Mm-hmm. I was homeless. I was in the cold. For a very long time, for up to 2 months, no place to live. Mm. Yeah, because I was not needed by anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the end of the day, we continued struggling with the help of God, and I got to know my wife, Irina. So we were living together. Mm-hmm. So we started living.
Okay.
I was deported as well. You know, at a point in time, I was deported because I was not having any legal residence in Ukraine. So I was deported from Ukraine. So with the help of my wife now, she invited me back. I got a visa to come back to Ukraine.
Okay.
So it took me a lot of time. I sought my document situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was struggling, digging, cleaning, doing everything just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I'm ready to do anything also to survive, also the second phase of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it.
Actually, you was already facing to some young people here in Europe who are who don't know what to do. They are changing the studies. They are hopeless and so on.
Yeah.
And on the contrary, you was facing two completely different situations to survive.
Sure.
What was your engine? What was your power to go on? What was your power to grow up, actually?
That's a personal interest in life. I was brought up by a well-experienced man, which is my father, and my mother, well-cultured people. So they put in me some certain spirit that somebody, a child, a person has to be focused, have to achieve something, have to be all the time doing something. That when you are not doing something, you are not useful.
Kind of determination.
Yeah, so at a point in time, I was not useful. I was not going to school in Ukraine. I was not having a job. I was useless. So I got to remember those things I was taught by my parents. You know? So I came across my wife now. So we met and we like ourselves. So that started another agility in me, another zeal. You know, so I kept up before I know she's pregnant. So now I'm not doing something. Now my wife is pregnant. So I'm now doing something. So when I go to work, I know that I use that money to take care of my pregnant wife. You know, so like that, now the child is born. Now I know that when I go to work, I use that money to take care of my child and my wife. So gradually, gradually, I begin to get energy, get strength from what I am doing. And from where I'm getting the money from. So things about life push me that I need to survive.
That's very interesting to hear because here in Czechia and especially Ukraine, as you mentioned as well, there are a lot of people who have kind of racist orientation and they are ready to say about people of different races. They are lazy, they don't want to work and so on. So as far as I can see, you are a completely different example.
How can somebody say that? If somebody says some... before you can say that, you have to give somebody opportunity. If you have given somebody opportunity to work and it did not work, then you can say that. You have the moral right to say that. If you cannot, you can't speak from outside. You can't speak from outside. Yes, many people have that notion. Many people have that idea. But it's not true. It's not right to speak from outside. A lot of people wants to work, they don't have the opportunity to work. A lot of people wants to work, they don't have good health to work. A lot of people wants to work, a lot of things distract people, disturb people from working. Like me, I was not having no experience. Like I said, I was studying law in Nigeria before I came here, so I wouldn't have any experience to work. I wasn't needed by anybody. I don't know how to do anything. But I wants to work.
Understood.
But thank God I met one man, Nikita. So he taught me. I was working for him, helped me. So he was teaching me. So when he found out that I was serious, but I don't know, so he was setting to teach me. I learned from him, and he opened the way for me. So I was learning and I know the job.
Okay.
Now I'm working.
Okay. And what about the racism you was facing in Ukraine? Was it really difficult for you? And how did you survive and perceive this?
Yeah, the issue of racism is the area that is very dangerous aspect. But at the moment now, I really like to talk about how to be of help to Ukraine. How to be of help to Ukraine, because now Ukraine really need help right now. Because I really want to talk about how some people in Ukraine treat people who are not their citizen. That may go a long way, not good for their own image. You know, so now the Ukrainian need help, and we all of us, we need help. So I would like to talk about how we can be of help to Ukraine.
Okay. And what about your football career in Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm a person of sport. I like football. So when I came, I had a chance to be in a team. But unfortunately, I was not legal at that point. So I was rejected. So I was playing in local football in the place my wife came from. So I played. I played for some time and they paid me, but it was not easy. I played for like 3-4 years in my wife's village. So, but now I'm old.
Okay. And what did you actually do when the war started? How was your perception of the situation? As far understood, as you are living in a Russian-speaking society, as far understood, the people understood Russia as a not enemy, and it changed fast. Oh, how it was actually for you?
For me, since I came to Ukraine, I have not seen Russian as a friend of Ukraine. Maybe I'm only seeing that as a foreigner. Maybe the Ukraine, I didn't see that. But as a foreign person in Ukraine, I never saw a Russian as a friend to Ukraine because Ukraine were always on threat from Russia. If K is not taking that threat, maybe it may come to the whole part of Europe, you know. So on the 24th of February 2022, everybody was sleeping. Or I was awake because I need to work at night. So I hear a lot of sound, a lot of gun, a lot of harsh sound. So I decide not to wake up my wife because I don't want to disturb her. But in the morning, the thing kept worse and worse and worse and worse. It was flying everywhere. Everywhere, in the air, everywhere it was flying, the bomb. We went to hide underground in the school for 2 nights. After I said, no, I don't want to hide here again. I want to run away. But my wife, Ira, didn't want to go with me. She said it's going to be over very soon. But the thing kept on fighting, kept on shooting every time, bombing everything every day. So she has to agree with me. So we ran away from Ukraine, from Kharkov to Lvov. A lot of people were in the train, about 25% in one wagon, you know. I stood for 24 hours from Kharkov to Lviv. I was on my feet. There was no space to sit down. So when I came there, I fell down because I couldn't feel my leg again, you know. So we managed to cross the border to Slovakia. That was where I met you. And from that time I met you, things has been very, very well. Things has been very good. Let's be sincere. So once again, thank you very much.
With pleasure. It was my pleasure. And actually, I mentioned already a few times, I did it more for myself than for the people, because when the war started, I was having a holiday in Cyprus. I didn't know that Cyprus has quite good relations with Russia, so I was rather afraid about my family. And the feeling of powerless for men is very difficult. So I thank you giving me chance to do something.
We needed our help. We needed it. We needed it.
Okay. So now we are in Czechia. You are trying to work a little bit somehow. You have some little work experience with some little job, but generally you are searching for some regular work. If there is anybody giving you a chance, it would be nice. Augustine is working on the construction site and has experience with it. But actually, other thing is that nowadays you are living in the less religious society in the Europe. On the contrary, you are a Christian. How does it fit together? How do you feel like? Or can you ever imagine that you will live among people who are not Christian belief? Or how do you perceive this?
This religion is in the heart. What Christianity means is what you've done to my life and to my family. That is the Bible. That is the Christianity. So when you say you live in an area where there is no Christian, I wouldn't believe that now. But you are the one saying it. Mm-hmm. But I've never thought of it because I enjoy the outcome of being a Christian. So it's not interesting for me what you believe or what people believe. What is important is the heart of people, the mind, the brain, the mind of people, and what they do, what they speak, the actions. So for now, I have no problem. I have no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice to hear. Great. And what about the Czechs generally? How do you perceive the Czech society, Czech people? You met already a few of them, so you have already some fresh impressions. Maybe it will make us more rich to hear some feedback from outside.
Yeah. At the moment, I am feeling okay. That even reminds me, I want to use this opportunity to say a very big thank you for the government of Czech. You know, they have created a good, hospitable environment for the people of Ukraine. You know, we have been enjoying their hospitality ever since we came here, so as well as the people of Czech. I have spent a month and some days here. I have not had any negative encounter with any Czech person. Everybody do what they're supposed to do. They greet when they're supposed to greet. They help when they're supposed to help. Like when I don't speak, I want to go to some places. You speak English? No, they want to know what's my problem. So we find a way to describe to each other. I use hands sometimes. But at the end of the day, they help me. I get to where I want to go to. So at this moment, I want to say thank you to all the Czech people. Thank you to the Czech government. And thank you for every person that I have met. They have been so well to me.
Thank you. And what about your Czech language? Can you express already something?
Like I said, when I started with Czech language. I say ahoj, you know, díky, příští
zastávka. Yeah.
So a lot of words that are flying into my ears, but I'm still trying to regurgitate my life here. So it's going well. I know with time I will speak the language.
And maybe I can know that thanks to your perfect knowledge of Russian and Ukraine as well, you can understand rather well to Czech
sure,
people.
Sure, because some Czech language, they are familiar to Ukrainian words. So when they speak it like dobry, dobry is dobry in Ukraine. So some words are so familiar. So it helped me to assimilate, to know some of this meaning.
Actually, as we are speaking about the Czech context, I would believe it's a big change for you from the perspective of living in a different shape of the country. You spent a few years in a flatland of Kharkov, and now you live somewhere in the highlands, as we mentioned in the very beginning, because you are the first guest of sub-program called People from Highlands. So now we are a guy from Highlands. How do you enjoy the life in Highlands?
Yeah, it's in the first place. It's in nature. The nature is so beautiful. And I'm enjoying it because this is a dream place, a place somebody can want to always be, wants to visit. But sometimes you don't have the opportunity to visit some of those places. But I don't want to say thank you for this problem. But through this problem, I was able to visit such a beautiful place. Mountain, when you are moving, you move like this, your car, your bus, it turns, U, V, you know, so it's very interesting.
Nice to hear. Okay. Are there any questions from the audience or from our master? No, nothing. Okay. If this is the case, then I'm having some. Which is back to the serious topics a little bit more. Actually, you have already potentially heard that about 90-95% of Czech people are definitely supporting Ukrainians. This is not of for many different reasons. Majority of them do it just because they believe it's a good step forward. It's a maybe kind of act of Christianity as well. And there are as well a few who can find some rational reason behind, because as you have heard, there's a lot of vacancies in the job market. So this will help to the country even from the economical perspective. But on the other side, there are a few people who are a little bit under the pressure or influence of the pro-Kremlin, pro-Russian propaganda. And unfortunately, they are able to say, from my perspective, kind of stupid things like what if that was Ukraine army who bombed Kharkov, for example, or the other country? What if this was Ukraine people who create this and this? What do you think about how you can perceive such a strange behavior of the people? Do you already met something like this before in Ukraine?
If somebody is having such an impression, I will have to ask one question for such a person. For instance, there is a man, a father, there is a child, and there is a mother. Let's assume the mother wants to get something from the father. Does she need to kill his own son in order to get something from her husband?
Mm-hmm.
That means for her husband to know that she really needs something, so she has to kill her own son, so that her husband will say, oh, it's true, okay, take what you want. Can somebody do that?
Yes, it makes no sense.
Actually. It makes no sense. So actually, this is what your question is saying, that
actually
Ukraine, they bomb their own self, they kill their self, to let the whole world know that Russia is bad. How does that make sense?
Actually, I have the same experience. Just a few days ago, I was sitting in a local pub in the village where we do live, and I met there a woman who I'm greeting now, giving my best regards, who told me actually that what about if the bombs came from Ukraine side? And I told her, okay, you can express this, why not? But you have to as well face to the truth. I have few people who enjoy this, who are living victims of it, and they will tell you whether the bombs came from Ukraine or Russian side. Are you ready to face to the truth? Can you imagine what she told me?
Mm-mm.
She told me, I stopped the discussion. And that's all about. That's all the trick about. If you face them to the truth, they are not able to continue the discussion.
That simply means you have the answers to your question. Because somebody cannot kill his own people just to get some what favor. Is it not better to be poor than to kill your people in order for you to be rich? No, that's not true. Why? Because Crimea has been seized by Russia. Crimea has been Ukraine territory. They seized it. Luhansk has been Ukrainian territory. Now, it's Russia. So what is the question? So they should, Ukraine should keep quiet for Russia to also take Kyiv the way they took Crimea and Luhansk? Or they should keep quiet, they take Kharkov the way they took Crimea and Luhansk? For Russia, there's no stop. They succeeded in Crimea, they succeeded in Luhansk, they are planning for another space. They will take another space. After some time, this take another place. For years, there will not be Ukraine. Is this not clear for this person? There is no propaganda here. Because the flat where I was living, because somebody that is still there, my window is out at the moment from the bomb. The next door to my flat, the rocket entered it into it. As a result of the vibration, the whole windows in that building are off. Should I be showing pictures? No. For somebody to speak so, you have to go to Ukraine and see.
Or to Russia to see how the Russian people live.
You have to go to Ukraine because there's nothing happening in Russia. The war is going on in Ukraine. Russia came into Ukraine to be fighting in Ukraine. So that's not a propaganda. Ukrainians, they are suffering, they are dying, and they need help. And that war needs to be stopped.
Yes.
If not, I think the whole Europe is a danger.
Yep.
If the whole world.
Okay. And when the war is over, what would you think about? When the war is over, do you have any idea if it's in 1 month or 1 year, or what's your own personal perspective to this? Because nobody knows. Yeah.
When the war will be over, first I will need to go to bunker to Mr. Putin to go and ask him when will the war finish? Because I don't know. I don't know when he wanted to start the war. I don't know. The president of Ukraine don't know. So when it will finish, I also don't know. So for me to know, I have to go to Vladimir Putin to ask him, Mr. President, when is the war going to finish? Or ask the NATO or the US or the American, when are they going to stop Russia from killing Ukrainians?
Yes.
So when I be able to ask Mr. Putin or ask the US, the US and the America, when they will stop, these are the people, the characters that knows, that can decide it, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Not even you.
Okay, understood. And now let's make it a little bit more nicer. Let's try to spend the last few minutes of our interview with the idea that the war is over.
Okay.
It will be quite good, maybe statement to the watchers and viewers and listeners. And so let's have a few questions, starting with if the war is over.
Yeah, of course, okay. It will be over.
Yeah, yeah,
when definitely. Nobody knows, yeah, it yeah. will be over. Yeah. There cannot okay. be. There has okay. not been a war that has no end. Anything that has beginning has an end.
Okay. And actually, when the war is over, what would you do as a first thing?
I will be happy. I will celebrate. I will be very happy. Raise up Ukrainian flag. Try to do everything. It's a great relief. Can you ask me that? What? I will be happy. I will be happy. That's what I will do.
Yeah, actually, that's the very first moment. And what about the next days? Would you intend to go back home or would you prefer a consular?
Oh, that's now a direct question. Of course. Home is home.
Yeah.
Home is home. We are here because there's a problem in Ukraine. We didn't come here because we wanted to travel or we have been planning to travel. No. My wife does not have international passport. Because she's not planning to travel out. My children, they don't have international passport because they are not planning to travel out. Yes. I work in Ukraine. I take care of my family. We are okay. We go to school. We are okay. So when the war is over, I hope Ukraine will remain Ukraine. Everybody will be alive. Of course, we'll go back home.
Okay. And what if Ukraine will not stay the Ukraine as it was before the war? What if Ukraine would consider to join the EU? Would you vote in potential referendum for or against Ukraine to join the EU? If it's not too personal, sorry for that.
That question is funny and is real.
Just refuse it if you want, sorry.
I wouldn't refuse any question. Why? Because if people want to hear, so I would tell them. If my votes... It's important to make a decision. If I'm allowed, I will vote 2-3 times to make sure Ukraine, they are now a member of European Union because they cannot afford to share some certain values with Russia. They are not trustworthy. Russians are not trustworthy. So it's better to live outside of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when the war is over, another question. If you remember when the Second World War was over, there was spent a lot of money to, survive or resurrect Germany and other countries of Europe, but it was including Germany. Imagine now, when the war is over, everybody counts with kind of Marshall Plan for Ukraine to grow up again. What about Russia? Do you think that it's good idea to invest European money into the Russia after the war to help them to create new society or new type? Or what's your own understanding of this?
Has Russia begged the world for support? Has Russia asked the world for support? Has Russia told the world they have problem? Ukrainians come out every day to tell the world they have problem. So who comes out to say he has a problem? So the world will help. So until then, when Russia come out, we'll think about it. The people involved will think about it.
Maybe we can play together the same game. How it was in Germany, who had some rather difficult past in the first part of 20th century when they created Nazism, fascism, all of this. And nowadays they create a big pillar of the European democracy. Would you believe, would you imagine the same with Russia, actually, to change the regime, to force Russian people to set up new mindset, eliminate the corruption and so on. Can you imagine this?
Russia, they have their own mentality. They are so different from every other person. You know, so their mentality, they are not ready mentally. Their mindset, they are not grown. They are not living in the 21st century. So they are so okay with the system they are living. So this is why they have such a ruler. A ruler, not a president. They have a ruler whereby they force you to decide what you don't like. So this is what is happening in Russia. Russia can never do that. Russians will always live the way they are. Unless, maybe, it will take a lot of time, not now. Maybe when there is no Putin. Maybe if they have decided to change their political system. So maybe, but I don't see that in the closest time at all.
Okay, so it was a lot of about international politics, about context and so on. Maybe we can go back to the common people's life and have some little bit light, easygoing end of our interview, if it's not okay. So what about if you would share with us your most funny experience or most funny moment you enjoyed in Czechia?
These are the moments I don't know how to speak. I want to buy a ticket. I don't even know how to pronounce where I'm going. I end up not buying the ticket. I want to buy some eggs. I don't know how to call the eggs. I want to buy some meat. I don't know how. In fact, it's funny. Sometimes I just begin to laugh at myself, but it's crazy. But now I'm really enjoying this place.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what all from my side. Actually, thank you a lot for time spent with us. I believe it was really interesting. And now I would like to take over the speech to the Miroslav again. Maybe he would have some question or something like this.
Yes, I think we are not at the end of this interview because I have one question. I think we forgot a little bit two children. And I have a question. You have two kids?
Sure.
Is it true?
Yeah, I have two children.
How old are they and how are they feeling last 1.5 month?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I am here. I didn't forget about them.
But we did, sorry, I did.
I was not asked about them. Mm-hmm. So now you ask about them, so I will speak about them. They are always here and they are always here. But here is not my place, so I won't come and be talking about my children because I have children. Now you have asked me, they are okay with the way Mr. Honze has been taking care of us. He is like a father to us. He is doing everything to, he buy toys for them. He play with them. He do everything. So they feel at home. He help us to arrange for school for the senior one. That is Santos. He's 9 years. And the other one, Benjamin, he's 5 years and some months. He will be very, very soon will be 6 years. So with the help of Jan, they are feeling very okay.
Don't worry. I have two daughters and they are happy that they have some refugees in their classes. So don't worry. And try to connect your children and to our, because I think that's the way how to understand each other and how to help. So that was my question. And
actually, it was a nice framework of our interview in the same moment as we started with you and your childhood in Africa when you played, enjoy to spend the time together. So luckily, even our children can do it. And maybe that's the key how to solve the world's problem.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. And?
Tak si to, Honzo, ukonči.
Dobře.
Zásada pro každého moderátora je, že si také musí se rozloučit, poděkovat divákům a ukončit si svůj pořad. Takže, to je, takže teď si ukončí svůj pořad poprvé Okres na severu a to už může i v češtině. Honza Formánek.
Tak já ještě jednou poděkuji Augustinovi v češtině. Rád se s váma rozloučím. Především jsme chtěli poděkovat za to, že spousta z vás se koukala naživo. Taky děkujem těm, kteří se budou koukat ještě později ze záznamu. Doufám, že vás to téma, ať už to ukrajinské nebo to kopečkářské, zaujalo a že příště nám svoji věrnost znovu oplatíte a my se budeme snažit zase naopak oplácet vám tím, že budeme připravovat zajímavá témata. Děkuji moc, hezký večer všem. Velký díl hlavně Mirečkovi, Mírovi Jorosovi a Mírovi druhýmu zvukařovi. Hezký večer. Ahoj.
Thank you very much for the opportunity given to me to speak to the Czech people. the opportunity given to me to be on live with the people. I hope the whole world will be peaceful. Ukraine will be peaceful. That Russia will come to the realization that they are really offended this country. And I thank this country, Czech, the government once again. They have done a lot. I thank the producer. I thank Mr. Jan. I am really happy to see you. And I hope everybody who listened to this interview will have the knowledge that things are happening in Ukraine. And together we shall share peace. Everywhere is going to be green. And this summer, everybody is going to enjoy it together. Thank you very much. I'm happy to see you people. Thank you.
Sláva Ukrajině. Hezký večer.
Sláva Ukrajině.